Happy Bathurst Day. Oh, come on. Happy Bathurst Day. Okay, I'll give up. It's Bathurst Day, right? And no, good as. Bathurst Day is a very important day on the calendar for some. And I look forward to spending the rest of my day on my couch, resting and relaxing and taking it in and riding the emotional roller coaster of what it is. Hey? My phone will be having extra details. It'll be a whole encompassing experience. Bathurst is a car race. Yeah, whatever. I get that. But it's a race like any other race, and there's one thing that's really important. What do you think the most important thing of Bathurst is? Yes, you're right. Getting to the end. Okay, no one said that. To finish. If you don't finish, you're nothing. And it's 1,000 kilometres. Whose car runs 1,000 kilometres in one tank of fuel? No. It's 1,000 kilometres a long way. And when you're driving as fast as you possibly can, your fuel does not last that long. So during the day, it's not just you get in your car and you drive. There's all these little parts of it. There's refilling your fuel. There's changing your tyres. There's changing your brakes, because brakes don't last a whole 1,000 kilometres. Work that out. There's changing drivers, because you can't drive for 6 hours straight fully intense. You've got to share it. 10 years ago, 2014, was a very important race in Bathurst, and getting towards the end, because they have all their planned fuel stops, there was a crash, and so when there's a crash, everyone goes slower, and people pull in and fuel up, and so all the lead runners had fueled up, and they knew that to get to the end on that tank of fuel was a bit iffy, but they all went out. And most of them were driving quickly, but a little bit conservative. And Jamie Wincup was in second or third place. He went flat out. And his management are saying, conserve fuel, conserve fuel, conserve fuel. And he says, I've got this, I've got this. And he kept going. He got into first place. You'd think, that's okay, that's good. He kept pushing. He got 3 seconds ahead. He's coming down the main straight end, kept going. He went around the third last corner, all good. Second last corner, in the lead, 3 second lead, easy win. And then he ran out of fuel. Did he make it to the end? Yes, he rolled for the last while, and he ended up coming fifth because he didn't conserve his fuel. And I could say that's a lesson for all of us. Because unless we're refueling us, then we don't get to the end. There's a pressure on us to do our very best. And those, when we're doing ministry and connecting with people, our goal and our desire and our drive is to do our best, to push, to keep going, to get there. But there's times where we're pushing and we're pushing and we don't get there. And we need to take time to stop, to refuel, and to start again, to get going. Because if we're not having that refuel, we don't get to the end. And the goal for us in our life is to get to the end, to be strong, to be living and showing people who Jesus is right to the very last day that God calls us to. And unless we're looking after ourselves, unless we're refueling, unless we're maintaining who we are, we're not going to get there. But what does that look like? What does it look like to refuel? I want to show our hands. Hands up if you spend your entire day on your own. You're at home, you're doing all the things you normally do, and at the end of the day you go, I feel so good. Hands up if that's you. Okay, now you've spent the whole day alone, you've been doing all this stuff on your own, at the end of the day and you feel, I am so shattered and so alone and so bored, hands up. Come on, someone's lying. Thank you. Because some people love to have people around. Some people love to have their own time. You go to a, imagine you go to a school reunion. It's been a while. You travel to school reunion. There's all these people, some that you know, some that you don't, some that you think you should, some that you're glad you can't remember. You're there for about 4 or 5 hours, new people, noise, all sorts of things going home. At the end of that, who's pumped? Who's had a great time? Who is so shattered they can't even get out of the car to walk in the house? We're different. And how we refuel is different. What's a holiday look like? Some people go on a holiday and lay on a beach and get suntan for 5 days straight, good or bad. Some people go and experience every experience possible, experience every new taste, every cultural experience. Some people like to go and do stuff. I got a friend that walked this, I don't even know what it is, it's a trail through America from the north to the south. It's 1,000 kilometres and took her a month. Thank you. I can't even say that. That was a holiday. No, it's not. But that's the type of thing some people, we all holiday in different ways. Janelle and I holiday in different ways. Janelle, when she has a holiday, she wants to do things every day and do stuff and experience new things. Me on a holiday, it's like, don't even talk to me. You know, I love you, but I love you on that side of the room. So we all have holidays in different ways. And a part of a holiday is refueling. So we say to people, you look really tired. I think you need a holiday. You need to go away. And in our subtleness, what we're saying is you need to go away and refuel. How do you do that? Mark 1:35, when Jesus was talking with his disciples, he said to them, very early in the morning, while it was all dark, Jesus got up, left the house, went off to a solitary place where he prayed. Jesus realized that he needed time to refuel, to take time out. So early in the morning, he found time, he found a place, and he went off away from everybody so that he could pray. Something we need to understand is that we are not just one element. We're complex. As people, we're complex. And we're made up of a body, a soul, and a spirit. And when we talk about refueling, when we're talking about tiredness, it's not just all of us or part of us. At the moment, physically, I'm trashed. I've had such a big week. Emotionally, I'm all over the place. I've had some highs and I've had some really, really tough days this week. But spiritually, I feel really strong. Now that's weird because a part of me is destroyed and a part of me is strong, but it's not weird at all. Because we are mind, body, and spirit. And when we're talking about refueling, then surely we need to learn how to refuel our mind, our soul, and our spirit. 1 Thessalonians 5:23, I pray God, your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless into the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. We are mind, body, and body, soul, and spirit. There's the three elements of who we are. When I talk about refueling in this context, I particularly want to look at spiritually. Because we need to know how we refuel physically, but I think we get that. We kind of understand how we refuel our soul, our emotions, our feelings. We get that. But sometimes we neglect our spirit. And we kind of say, well, if I have a holiday, I'll be okay. But is a holiday necessarily refueling our spirit? How do we go about that? Isaiah 40:31. But those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not be faint. We need to find our place with God to renew our strength, to renew who we are. We need to take the time out to spend our time with God. Now, I'm going to do something a little strange. I'm going to reflect on our life as if it's a mobile phone. Now, that might be a bit weird, but hang with me, okay? What's the thing that we need to do often with our mobile phone? Charge it. We need to charge our phones. Now, there's two types of people. There's the type of person that has a regular time of recharging their phone. There's those who are just, oh my goodness, I ran out of charge. Where is my phone? I think I should find my phone so I can turn it on and recharge it. Two types of people, right and wrong. Two types of people. So when I go to bed at night, I have the thing, I turn off all the apps, like I close the apps, and I recharge my phone every night so that I'm never caught out. That's me. I've got that. That's a part of who I am. But we need to learn how to recharge our phone. We need to remember that. We also need to remember to recharge who we are, recharge our spiritual lives. There's a story in Mark 6 about Jesus. And Mark 6 is going through this story where Jesus sent out the 72. Then he hears about John the Baptist has been killed. All the disciples come back. And then there's this passage in verse 30. The apostles gathered around Jesus and reported to him all that they had done and taught. Then because so many people were coming and going that they did not even have a chance to eat, he said to them, "Come with me by yourselves to a quiet place and get some rest." So they went away by themselves in a boat to a solitary place. These disciples were pumped. They were excited. They were on a high. They'd gone out in pairs. They'd seen God do stuff. They were ministering to people. They had amazing things, and they came back to Jesus. So there's 12 of them, so there's six groups of two and Jesus, all wanting to tell their stories at the same time. Just so excited. And as they're telling their stories, this happened and this happened, there's other people coming up saying, "Oh, can you help me? Can you do..." So you can imagine the intensity of the excitement and the pump. They weren't tired. They were pumped, but they were tired, but they were pumped. And Jesus said, "Hold on. You guys need to eat. Let's go away to a quiet place. Be quiet. Have something to eat and process." Now, I'm just saying that if Jesus needed to take time out, if Jesus said to his disciples, "We need to take time out," then surely he's saying it to us as well. That even in those times where we're so pumped up, we're going, "Isn't God good? He's doing all this. Isn't this great?" We need to be able to take time out to say, "I need to sit with God. I need to look after my body. I need to look after my soul. I need to look after my spirit. I need to step out of this excitement, all this stuff that's going on, to have a rest." And we need to take time out to sit with God. We need to take time out to refuel, to learn more of who he is, to get encouraged and empowered, to get strengthened so that we can go about what God's called us to do. We have the best of intentions, but sometimes the best of intentions rob us of our capacity to do what we want to do. So I've got some things here that I want to look at, things that stop us from being able to do the things that we want to do, or things that can help us. The first thing is to get rid of unreasonable expectations. There's expectations on us that are unreasonable, that are not right, that are not good, and they stop us from doing what we want. Now, those expectations can be from people outside, but those expectations can be from us ourselves. They can be our own expectations. And I know, well, I went through a really hard time for a while because I had these expectations of what I believed God wanted me to do, and I was doing my very, very best plus a bit to do what I wanted, what I thought I should do for God, for those around me, and I was just in this trap of expectations. And I need to be able to let those expectations go. Because sometimes the expectations can overwhelm us and bury us and drown us, and they're not helpful. We need to stop feeling guilty. When Jesus came to save us, when he came to forgive us our sins, he came to relieve us of guilt. But we love to dwell in guilt. And when we have these expectations on us and we're not fulfilling those expectations, we create our own guilt because I can't possibly do what I think I should do. and it just becomes this pit of despair. I can't fulfill the expectations. I'm worthless. I'm useless. I'm tired. I'm not. That's a pit we get caught in. That guilt just drives us and overwhelms us and stops us from doing anything. We need to get rid of that guilt. We need to stop compartmentalizing our lives. So often we have our God part and our work part and our family part and our social part, and we have all these different parts of our lives, and that's just going to destroy us. God is our God of all of our lives. He is involved in all of who we are. Even the cooking of dinner, even the fixing of the car, even the fixing the car that I broke because I was trying to fix the car, of work, of that goose that lives down the road that doesn't deserve love. God is the God of all elements of our life. He is involved in all elements of our life. And when we start compartmentalizing all these little parts and allowing God to touch this part and not that part, that's just going to hurt us and not help us. What else do we need to do? We need to stop. And there's times where we just need to stop. We live in a world that's so busy. There's so much noise. We've always got something going on in the background. And there's times where we need to stop, just to clear our minds, to clear our everything around us, to be able to stop. Stop that stuff going around. And then we need to be quiet. Quietness is something that's not encouraged so much these days. But we need to find that place of quiet. That place where we can hear God. He's not drowned out by the other noises. He's not drowned out by the busyness of life. We need to be able to stop, and we need to be quiet. And then we need to be proactive in making a connection with God. We need to take that step of saying, I want to sit with God in this place. How do we do that? Reading the Bible, praying, maybe a praise song. Deliberately, proactively saying, God, I'm here with you. I want to make a connection. And we need to push that and find that place. And through all this, there's some key questions we can ask ourselves. What do we need to put down in order to follow Jesus? What are we doing to learn more about Jesus and his ways? How are we experiencing excitement in our life because of following Jesus? What difficulties are in our life that God might be using to change us? What are we personally sacrificing convenience for obedience? And where do we see God rewarding our obedience? What is God doing in our lives? Sometimes we just need to stop, have quiet, connect with God, and ask those questions of what is God doing in this time? It's easy to blame God for what's going on. It's a little more difficult and proactive to ask God why things are going on. E.M. Bounds, who's a theologian from the end of the 18th century, said, "The life-giving preacher is a man of God whose soul is continually following after God. His eye looks only to God, and in him, by the power of God's Spirit, the flesh and the world have been crucified." God is first. God comes first. And when we put all of this life in front of God, we miss the point of why we are here. God needs to be first. During the Cold War in America was very aware of bombers and stuff coming over and bombs and stuff. And so what they had is this strategic air command, and it had 24 hours a day a shield of protection around America. So they had planes up there defending the country, and they were in the air for 24 hours straight, over and over and over again. What problem do you see with that? No fuel. So they created in-air fueling. So they have fuel tanks with wings. I may have oversimplified that. That go up, and as these jets and these planes are going along, they go and refuel them to keep them going. They refuel as they're going along. They refuel in their everyday life is what they're doing. And that's what we need to do. We need to be proactive in refueling as we go through each and every day, as we follow what God wants for us, as we go about serving and loving those around us. As we do what God's called us to do, we need to be refueling and looking after ourselves as well. And then back to the phone. Every now and then, you need to turn your phone off and on. My mum, I saw her on Wednesday night. David, my phone's not working. And I said, okay, how do you turn it off, Mum? You know, I'll just turn it off and on and see what happens. I don't know. I don't know how to turn it off. I went, okay. So I found out, off, on, and 36 text messages came in. There you go, I think it's fixed. Every now and then your phone just needs to get turned off and turned on. And there's times where we need to regularly stop, get out of our regular cycles, get out of our regular pattern, just take a stop and step out. I just talked about these planes around America that were up in the air. They do have to come down sometimes because nothing needs no maintenance. Everything needs maintenance. Even these really top quality million-dollar planes, they need maintenance. They can't stay up there forever. So they need to come down and have some time to get maintenance done. And there's times where we go through and we have day, all good, but then we need to stop, take a step out, and get some maintenance done. 2 Corinthians 4:16 says, "For this reason we never became discouraged. Even though our physical being is gradually decaying, yet our spiritual being is renewed day after day." We need to find that place where we take a step out of everyday life and to refuel. There's some things that we need to do. One thing is that we need to have a Sabbath. Now, for many people, Sunday is a Sabbath. That's great. I kind of have to work, so I have a Sabbath on a Wednesday. We need to have that time where we're having a Sabbath and to be able to have a God element as a part of that. Take a walk in the bush. Read a devotional or a Bible. Serve others. Make a gratitude list. Meditate and pray. Have fellowship. Watch or listen to Christian teaching. Sing or declare praise for God's goodness. We need to find ways of taking a step out of the everyday to be able to take times to give maintenance to ourselves, to our spirit. In Mark 6:46, "And when Jesus had sent them away, he departed into a mountain to pray." Jesus took time out of his regular day to spend time with his Father, and we need to have that time as well. But we need to do more than just turn our phone on and off. There's times where we need to have an upgrade, a software upgrade. You know, your phone says, upgrade now. We need to do that as well. And that is through retreats and spiritual resets. We need to take the time to step out. A part of who we are, we like to think that we're on all good. But when we look at nature, as we look at the world around us, and particularly in Stanthorpe, there's summer and there's autumn and there's spring and there's winter. I tried to forget winter. I don't like it very much. But we have the four seasons. And the four seasons are really important because plants and nature need time of growth. It needs time of rest. It needs time to produce fruit. It needs the time to slow down and stop. And we need that as well. We can't just be spring all the time where we're growing and producing and we're getting fruit. And we need to have time where we stop. We need to realize that there's seasons in our life. There's seasons in our life where we're 200% just powering on. We also need to provide a place where we're going a bit slower. So we need to look at our lives and to be able to say, well, how do we provide those times in our lives? Times where we're able to do 120%, and I know that's not a real number, but how do we go about giving everything to grow, to see multiplication, to see God stuff all around us? But how do we also take times to slow down? How do we take times to step away? How do we take time just to see the growth in the life around us? But there's more to our phone than that as well. Sometimes we just need to get a new phone. There's times where our phone has come to the end and we need to get a new phone. And for us, there's also times where we need to stop and just reset where we're up to, however that looks like. One of the weird things about social media, and I think it's a trap, is that there's this thing called confirmation bias. I knew I'd remember eventually. Confirmation bias. What confirmation bias is that our mind focuses on different things. It takes in all of this information, but our minds have interests. And so when our mind sees something of interest to us, it goes, ah, there's one. So when you buy a new car and you drive along, all of a sudden you see all these cars that are the same that have never existed before. Because your brain is going, car, 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 ooh. But it happens in every element of who we are. And social media has algorithms which are designed to be like that. So if I perhaps said, I love Trump, and I watch all these Trump encouraging videos and all these videos that are on Trumpness, then my social media goes, hey, he likes Trump. So all of the videos and all of the different commentators and everything just feeds more about how good Trump is. And that's all I get. But if I come over here and say, oh, I don't like Trump very much, and I watch videos that are anti-Trump, then it shows me more Kamala videos, and it shows me more Joe Biden videos, and it shows me more about liberal politics, and it shows me more about this, and grows until I actually never see any of the other side. Social media has the algorithms built in that feed what we already think. And as Christians, we have an understanding and a belief of who God is, and that's good. And we have a belief of how God does things, and that's good. And sometimes those things become traditions more than beliefs. What song is good? Scripture is good? What this is good? How do we do church? How do we do this? And we just create. And don't get me wrong, that's all good. But there's times where it becomes so much entrenched that it becomes a tradition of this is the only way we do it. And there's times where we need to step out of that and just say, is that really what I believe? Or is this a tradition that I've caught myself in? I have to do professional development. And most workers do have to have some form of professional development to keep challenging who I am, challenge how I think, challenge how I process, challenge how we do church, how we do relationships, how we connect with each other. Because we need to be challenged to be saying, what's God doing and how are we walking with God, as opposed to how am I maintaining my traditions and maintaining my values that I've had for X number of years. We need to renew our phone, but we also renew who we believe God is, how we believe God interacts, how I interact. We need to be pushing ourselves to be able to take that next step of where am I going, rather than the traditions and the culture. Now, that's not bad. It's not wrong, necessarily. But if we're stuck in a place of saying, that's right, I'm not going to question it, then we're trapped in it. It's a tradition rather than a living value and a living belief. So I'm not condemning that. Please don't hear that. But I am saying that we need to take time out to reevaluate, to be able to sit there and go, where is God in this? What is God doing? Where is God leading us to be? Are we open for God to do a new work in us? Are we open to God doing new work in me personally, in us as a church, in how we interact in our community? Our community is changing so quickly. Our community is not the same as it was 40 years ago. I guarantee that Sarah and Daniel don't think like me. Amen. They think differently. Our society thinks differently. And if we sit back and go, what we did back in 1970 as a Easter reach out to the community, that worked really well, so we're going to do it again. Our community is different. So how do we work into the newer generations? How do we work into a community that don't have had no history of Jesus and God? A community who have never gone to Sunday school? Communities who are third generation on welfare? How do we connect with people that are outside of our understanding and our thinking? And how do we bring a living, amazing God who loves these people? How do we work into their lives? What we did in the past, is it wrong? No. But is it how we can meet new people? Different. Where is God in this? Where is God challenging us? Where are we stepping out of our own personal algorithms that feed our own beliefs to be able to say, where is God? What is God doing? What has God got for me? What is God wanting me to do? We need to be willing and brave enough to take those challenges. We read before the parable of the virgins. Such a powerful, powerful parable. Are we ready? Jesus is going to come back. And when he comes back, are we going to be ready? Because if we go 100% and we're powering on, we're not going to make it. If we're living in the traditions and the culture that we've created as opposed to where God wants us to be, we're not going to make it. If we really want to be ready for God, to sit with Jesus, to be the bride, and I do say that feeling uneasy being a bride, but if we want to sit before Jesus at the end of time, we need to be able to get there. We need to finish the race, to be there at the conclusion. And we need to take time to refresh and to renew and to rebuild and to have maintenance for our spirit, so that when Jesus comes, we're as fresh as we were the first day. What do we need to do to get to that place? What do you need to do to get to that place? Let's pray. Father, I want to thank you for who you are. You are a great God. In our tiredness, in our frustration, in our disappointment, you are a great God. You're a God of hope. You're God of life. You're God of love. You're God who leads us to great and mighty things. You're a God of revelation, of wholeness, of truth. And Father, I thank you that you walk with us and you carry us to what's next. Father, thank you that you're a God who has so much more potential than we can ever imagine in our own lives. That tomorrow is a beautiful day because you are in it. And Father, I thank you that you don't spread guilt, you spread mercy and grace. That you bring forgiveness and new life, and you don't walk us through a pit of despair. Father, thank you that we can trust you, we can know you, we can love you, and we can experience the wholeness of who you are. In Jesus' name, amen.